Morning.
I'm sure everybody already knows what's taking place with the loss of Jimmy's life, and we're all in shock, heartache, and pain of it. So we're not going to have maybe what we would say traditionally service the way we've had it. I want people to be free to open up and share. I'll be sharing a few thoughts on a few things. If you have questions, if you have comments you'd like to make, then please feel free to do that this morning. We're all going to grieve in our own way, and it's a shock. But God is real, and God can help us through this. And we will look at some scriptures together about who God is in the midst of tribulation. So want us to be a family who comes together, and we can comfort one another and encourage one another and be there for each other during this time. So we will sing a few songs, but and we'll go to scripture. I may not do a sermon per se, but we will look at some scriptures as we go along. So let's just start with a word of prayer. Lord, we're coming to you today, and our hearts are heavy. And our hearts ache, Lord, for our own sorrow. Our hearts ache for all of the family and what they are going through. We especially lift up Heather to you and Sarah and Kim. And we pray, Lord, that you will meet them. We thank you for the supernatural strength that you have already given to Heather. And I know in my conversation with Sarah this morning, even with her as well. So, Lord, we're asking you to come and visit us, Lord. We don't know what else to say. Lord, we all of us have a desire that things would not have come to this, but they are where they are now, and that you can give grace and strength and comfort. And so we ask for it this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
The question has often been asked of me, can a Christian commit suicide? And a careful evaluation of that is I believe they can, because sometimes it's not the person that's actually doing it, it's the illness that can cause that to happen. And I choose to remember a kind and gentle Jimmy, because that was a much part of his nature. In the last few years, it would seem when he began to take those blackouts, it's not that Jimmy didn't have deep struggles. We know that he did. And they fed the fire in his life, especially after he had those blackouts. It seemed like this inability to control anger grew in his life and multiplied and seemed to just increase. And in speaking with a clinical psychiatrist, whom I actually had Jimmy referred to go and see, she mentioned that it is possible because of the blackouts that he was having that you can get oxygen deprivation to the brain, which happens in older people, because she's a geriatric psychiatrist, where it damages that area of the brain where there is control over anger. And the problem was is that even though I got him an appointment, that he didn't follow up on. He didn't like what she had to say, so he didn't go back. And that only furthered the problem there for him. So yes, it's possible for anyone under the wrong circumstances, I won't say the right ones, but the wrong circumstances, for someone to do what they would not normally ever do. And the despair and the depression continued in his life to a place where he made this choice, and we don't condone it by any means. We know there is a better way, and there was a better way. But the only unpardonable sin in the Bible is the rejection of the Holy Spirit. It's a rejection of Christ. And I don't believe that's what happened. So we don't pray for people after they die. I just want to make that clear. Because when people die, they face the Lord and they go one place or the other. It's done. Prayers don't do anything for someone who's already passed on. So we don't pray for those individuals who passed on. We pray for those who are left behind, for the families and friends, and we seek to try to comfort one another in that way and to bring them before the Lord. And Heather has been experiencing amazing strength from God, and continued prayer will help that along. And even for myself, I went to identify the remains last night in Sydney, and the Lord gave amazing strength even for that, because people were praying. So the greatest thing that we can do during this time is to be people of prayer and to be holding up the family and holding up one another. I went through a deep struggle as a Christian a number of years back, and I had thoughts in that direction as well. And I was so full of despair at the time. The Lord did bring me through it. But there are places of surrender where we have to come to in the middle of that. And sadly for Jimmy, he refused to surrender to God in those things and find a way forward. From the hurts of the past can have tremendous effect on us in our future. We know that. But there is a place of freedom from it. But if you hold on to it, and there are deep lessons in terms of, in the book of Hebrews, it says, watch out, be careful, lest a root of bitterness spring up inside of you. Because then it says it will defile many. It will cause grief to many. A root of bitterness that's allowed to grow in our lives. And it may be that a person could, you know, keep it the lid on it for most of their life, but when you have other factors that step in with some mental illness along with that, then whatever problems we have are magnified. And if the root is not dealt with, then they can cause such grave destruction. They do anyway. Any kind of bitterness will cause that. So somewhere along life's journey, whatever's been done to us and whatever we've done to others, We have to fall to the cross and ask the Lord to, Lord, bring a new beginning here. I need a new beginning, a new start. And really, that's what the cross is about. It's a new beginning and a new start. And sadly, sometimes we allow the Lord to touch certain parts of our lives, but other parts we say, hands off, hands off. I want to hold on to this. Can I encourage all of you here today to absolute surrender in your life? Don't say to God, hands off. Hands off on this corner of my life, because that's the corner that will cause you the grief and the trouble. And Lord, now as we open the scriptures for a few moments and reflect on who you are and who you are to us, that, Lord, we would find your strength and your peace and your presence here. We thank you. The word of God says God is our refuge and our strength, and he's a very present help in time of trouble. And so, Lord, we ask for your great help during these times. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 11, verse 19, when Mary and Martha had lost their brother Lazarus, there was great grief. There was great grief and great puzzlement in Mary and Martha, because both Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus to come and to heal. But he didn't come. It didn't happen. Things didn't happen the way they expected. And sometimes we have huge question marks over us when things don't happen the way we expect. When we hope for the better resolution and the better resolution doesn't come, we can be very devastated. And we can question God. Why? And as a matter of fact, when Jesus did finally show up 4 days later, when he finally shows up, the first thing that Mary, that Martha said to Jesus was, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then when Mary finally came out to see Jesus, when he finally showed up, where he willfully stayed away, she said the same thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And sometimes we don't know. We don't understand why things unfold the way they do. We know that God is sovereign. We know that he's powerful. We know that he can step in and he can intervene. And sometimes we say, well, God, why? Why don't you? And I don't have an answer for that. But I know that in this story, God gave us the privilege of seeing what the end result was. And in that case, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. In that case. He's not always going to raise somebody from the dead. Because all of us are going to die. And guess what happened to Lazarus later on? He died. He died twice. Right? He died again. Because death and sorrow and suffering and pain and heartache are part of the world that we are in. Ultimately, the results of sin, ultimately, all of this death and sorrow and sin that's in the world is a result of sin in the world. Not just one particular person's sin. You know, it's not like, okay, if something bad happens to me, it's because I sinned always. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's a culmination of many sins. It's a culmination of many circumstances that people have done over the years. Painful things that happen in our world. Heartaches and sorrows and misery and all of this. Sin has come in the world, and the world's a broken place, and we are broken. Everyone has brokenness. Everyone has circumstances that they are dealing with in life. And some of you here today are dealing with circumstances apart from what we're facing here, and deep circumstances, and sometimes it feels trapped and no way out of it. But God is real, and God is on the throne, and the first place is always to fall before Jesus. And you know what? Martha and Mary, even though they questioned Jesus about it, they at least came to Jesus with it. They fell before Jesus with it. They came. Mary came and fell before him. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Even though there was a sense of accusation in that, there was a willingness to surrender to Jesus Christ. And so look, if you don't understand and you don't know where to turn and you don't know what to do, at least come to Jesus with it. Come and fall before the Lord with the messes that we find in our own lives, sometimes the messes in other lives and the circumstances that are so far beyond us and we don't know what to do. Fall before the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the end of all things. He sees the finish line. We don't. And we don't understand sometimes the things that take place. And it breaks our heart when we see the grief and the pain, or when we experience it ourselves. And Jesus was not indifferent to the cries of Mary and Martha. He said, take me, show me, take me to the tomb. So they took him there, wherever you laid him. And when they got there, it tells us two words, shortest verse in the Bible. Anybody know what it was? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. That's what it was. Did you say that? Jesus wept. Okay. Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Now, that means that much, but it does mean much that Jesus stood and wept at the tomb. He wept over a broken world. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So it wasn't that he wasn't going to see Lazarus again, but he had a deeper sorrow, the sorrow of brokenness and the sorrow of sin and the sorrow that has caused the human race to fall so far and so deep away from God, and the results of that sorrow and the suffering that come with it. And I want to encourage you today, that's the heart that Jesus had. But when we're faced with death and when we're faced with puzzlement and we don't know what to do, there's some things that we can do. And we can see even here in John 11:19, many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. It rises up, especially in the small town communities that we live in, when somebody goes through this crisis or catastrophe, it rises up within the family and the neighbors and the friends to come and comfort any way that we can. And I know sometimes it's hard to find, well, how can I be a comfort? Your very presence. Words sometimes, what can you say? But your presence can mean so much to people when they are suffering and going through trial. We can't fix things sometimes. Some things are unfixable by us. We can't turn back the clock. How all of us would long to be able to do that. We can't turn back the clock. But what we can do is come to God and find the comfort that God can bring into our lives. And when we experience that comfort, then we can be a comfort to others. A deeper comfort can come from that source than any other. And the reason why I can say this is because this is one of the titles of God. Notice, Romans 15:5 says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus." God is a comforter. He is someone who wants to bring comfort to us. And that's what he's like. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, here's what it says. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." He is the God of all comfort. Oh, what do we do then? What we need to do when we are faced with troubles and sorrows and trials is come to Jesus. Fall before Jesus. Look for the comfort that He can bring into our lives and our situations. Come to Jesus. Don't hold back. I can tell you He's the one source that we can come to in the midst of whatever trial we face, and He will be there. He will be there. Come to Jesus. If we are willing to come, He will bring that great and deep and wonderful comfort, because that is who He is. He's the God of not some comfort, but the God of all comfort. There are times when we live in a broken situation and there is no comfort. There's no comfort in finances. There's no comfort in anything. Anything physical this world has to offer. Excuse me, but the God of all comfort is there. And He can come. And when He comforts you, when you experience the comfort that comes from God, listen what it says here. Who comforts us in what? In all our tribulation. He comforts us in all of our tribulations, in all of our circumstances. Even in this one, there is comfort. There is comfort from God. He is real and He is there. Now, sometimes we don't take the comfort that God has for us. And when we do, often the stress piles up even deeper and deeper. And sadly, I believe for Jimmy, he didn't take the comfort that was there. Now, whether it was because of his illnesses or whatever the circumstances, I can't answer at all. I don't know all the answers. But I want you to know today that the God of all comfort is there for you. And that take the God of comfort. Turn to the God of comfort. A willingness to lay everything down and surrender into His hands. Everything that has been done to you, everything you've done to anyone else, to let it all go and trust the God of all comfort, and He will comfort you. Not only will He give you comfort, but the Bible says this. It says, who comforts us in all our tribulation. For what reason? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with we ourselves have comforted by God. The word comfort is used a lot here, isn't it? And it tells us that, listen, if I'm going through a trial, there may be a reason for it beyond the trial that I'm in. It may very well be that the trial that I go through now, because the world's full of trials, and there are many broken people out there, and many of them are going to go through the very similar trial that you're in. But if I get comfort from God in that trial, when I run into people who have similar trials, I can give them the comfort that comes from God. Because that's what it says, isn't it? I can give comfort. God wants to bring comfort into the world to broken people. But He chooses to bring that comfort through His people. Through His people. God's people are meant to be those who are comforters. Those who are going out and bringing healing to hard situations. That's what God calls us to do. It doesn't mean we're going to win every time. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Indeed, who wants to go through any trials at all? We all want to have things go smooth. We don't want to have any trouble in our life. We want everything to be la-di-da all the way to the end. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for the believer or the unbeliever. The Bible says God causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. And so we live in such brokenness in this world that we are not going to be untouched by it. Indeed, we should not be untouched by it. But what we do have is a promise that we can come to God for comfort in our trials, but there is even a greater goal behind all of that, that there's a purpose for the trial. Even if I can't understand the purpose why I'm going through it right now, I'm going to run into somebody who's going through a similar thing. Aren't you? Haven't you? Well, you'll come across the same thing, and you will be able to bring God's comfort into that situation. Wow. God is able to bring good things even out of hard situations. And I want to encourage you today. I want to bring comfort to you today from the God of all comfort, that He is real and that He is for us and that He is with us, and how often we have been strengthened by the witness of someone else going through trials. And I know I've spoken of it many times, but even the trial that my wife and I have gone through this winter, it has softened our hearts. It has made us more aware, very acutely aware, of those who are suffering with cancer. And I can't say I wasn't compassionate before, and I visited hospitals before, but let me tell you, it's a whole different story when you're there. It really is. And when you see someone who's going through treatments or struggle, there's suddenly an empathy there. There's a comfort there that you can bring that you couldn't bring before because you didn't know what it was like. And in all these circumstances, what we need to do is come to Jesus. Come. Don't hold back. Don't let anything keep you from coming to Jesus with your whole life, with laying everything down before Him, so that we can have the fullness of the comfort of God, and so that we can effectively bring that comfort to others, so that it says that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves are comforted by God. It doesn't mean that you have to go through the exact circumstance of another person, but it does mean that you have discovered that in the midst of the deep trial, the dark hole, that God was there and that He brought comfort to you so that you can bring it to others. We've got a couple of very tough days ahead, but we're a family, and it's a Christian family, and we are going to be looking to bring comfort to others in the midst of it, and comforting one another as we struggle and as we have questions. Turn to God. Turn to Him. I don't understand everything that happens. I would have wished for a much better outcome. We all would. But we are where we are now. May we be able to rise up in the strength and in the comfort of God to be a great comfort to others, to a grieving family and a grieving community as well. Because no one wanted this. No one. So, what can we do? Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. You're carrying a load. Come to Jesus. And He promised that we would find rest for our souls. He said His yoke was easy and His burden was light. In the midst of deep trial, Jesus is longing for us to come to Him. Jerusalem, we saw Matthew 23:37 a few weeks ago. They refused to come. He said, I want to gather you like a hen gathers their chicks under their wings, but you wouldn't come. But you would not come. That's a sad story. It really is. And it is sad when someone doesn't come, when someone holds back, when someone will not come. But let me encourage you to be the one who says, Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I'm surrendering. Lord, I'm not holding back any longer here. Lord, I'm not going to be reserved about this. I am going to surrender my whole life to You and keep it there, because that's the only place I can be. And I can tell you that it will be a place not only for you to find rest for your soul, but it will be a place where you'll be able to invite others into a place of rest. And listen, if this world doesn't need that, we don't know what's going on. This world needs islands of peace in the midst of trouble. This world needs places of comfort in the midst of pain. It needs these things. And God has given you and me the privilege of being those very kinds of people where broken people can find respite, where broken people can find someone who cares and someone who's willing to compassionately and wonderfully reach out. I know that for many, it's easy to feel guilty. If I only had done more, if only I had said more, if only I could have been more, and we can say that forever. I believe that there was genuine love, compassion, and care expressed by the people of God in this situation. And I don't know what more could have been done by individuals. We have to leave that with God and trust that the Lord is still on the throne, still in control, and that He can give us the comfort we need during this trial. God bless you. Let's be there for one another in every way as we move forward. And may we just learn those lessons of turning things over to Jesus completely and absolutely so that this can be avoided in our own lives, because none of us are immune. Any one of us can find ourselves with mental illness and struggles and trials. It can happen to any one of us. But God can meet us there. And that we could learn lessons from this to be able to be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Lord, we come and we lay ourselves at your feet and we pray that you will, Lord, be gracious. Again, we ask for comfort for the whole family. We ask, Lord, that you will show us how to be a comfort to them. And we pray for a strength beyond ourselves, Lord. We don't have all the answers, Lord. But you do. You see the end of it all. And we're thankful that you do. We must commit and surrender all things into your care. So we do that, Lord. We surrender. We surrender Jimmy. We surrender, Lord, ourselves. We surrender our hopes and our dreams. We lift Heather and Sarah. And we lift up Kim, Angela. We just pray, Lord. Oh, bless all the family, Sonny and Therese, brothers and sisters, we surrender. We lift them all to you. And we pray for your strength and power in this coming week. We pray for the supernatural comfort of God. In Jesus' name.